Okay, so I'm opening the meeting. We're running a little bit late. It's 7:38. Planning Commission meeting for, what are we at? Thursday, June 26th, 7:38 p.m. Allison Gustafi's here. Greg Pryor is here. David Kyle is here. Dom Britton. And we also have Kay Freedy, a member of the public, with joining us today. Okay, so thank you guys for being here. I know it's summertime, so it always makes it trickier for people. Just looking at the agenda, Dom, I'll pass that to you too.
Oh, sure. I need to grab my glasses.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yep.
Or I won't see a thing.
Okay. So just upon looking, Dom, if you had a chance, do you have any changes to the agenda?
I didn't see anything.
Okay. David, Greg, any changes you guys wanted to go through?
I kind of made a blatant comment towards the end of last meeting about the gamble economy is in flux or it's not currently well defined. So I don't know how or when we could just take 5 minutes to say, you know, this section of the town plan is clearly, I mean, this is what we're planning for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that's the current state is always going to be flux,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, et cetera. But the simple question, what is our current economy? What are we planning for?
Absolutely.
Is now, I don't, if the answer is, well, we still have some research or whatever. I mean, are we planning for development? Are we
mm-hmm.
planning for agriculture? Mm-hmm. And or is the answer, Greg, get into the town plan and research that before we can have this conversation?
Yeah, so, I think I would say both. Like if you looked at the town plan, and maybe you've already gone through that section, but I would say we can definitely make an agenda item for next month. I'll make a note where we can at least just have a little conversation where we all revisit that section of the town plan together and just sort of have a little brainstorm on it.
Yes, because these are the same conversations I have with the Chamber of Commerce,
yep.
you know, Select Board, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
And I guess if I'm going to be asking that question so much, is it, well, it's I need to build my own platform so that I don't just throw that out.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, we don't know what we're planning for.
We're not sure. Right. No, I think it's a good conversation.
You know?
And honestly, Don just jumped in and Judy's more recently in. And so I think it would be good for everyone
training.
To look at that part of the town plan together.
Vince was, you know, we went at length there for a little period about fragmentation of land.
Yes.
You know, because it's formerly agricultural. So.
Yeah, no problem.
So whenever the so the answer to that is push to next agenda.
I would say I want to make sure it's worn since we're having this whole conversation on sort of economic future.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll make sure I get that added as an agenda item, or that would be July,
yeah.
and we can have more.
And
of a conversation.
Even if it's eight years out until we roll such things into the town plan, I just
yeah.
it seems like it should be a pain.
Mm-hmm.
Just that
I would. More than happy to.
Perfect. That sounds like a plan. Okay. And I'll do a reminder for everyone just to go back and I'll send a link to the town plan so we can all sort of go through that section and just make sure we're sort of fresh on that. So that'll be on the July. And I don't want to add anything.
That
okay.
section.
Just in the town plan. Like the economics.
Economics.
Yes. 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 So I'll send a reminder on that. And so we can all just sort of regroup on it and then make sure. And I don't want to add, if possible, if you guys are on the same page, too much more, because I think we'll still be having a few more conversations on this because Liam needs this by August at the latest.
So we have some action items to name.
Yeah. So, okay. Okay, so no changes to this agenda, but we have an agenda item for July. Does that all sound good? We're all on the same page there? Yes? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we have review and acceptance of the May meeting minutes. And these are the May meeting minutes. Greg, do you need them?
This was our
May meeting minute. And there's also a recording for anyone who missed that meeting where Liam, you know, we just had a lot of questions and big discussion about MBDA's situation and what they're trying to accomplish here, what they're mandated really to accomplish. And I'll revisit some of that once we get there. I did not have a chance to read these, so if you guys don't mind giving it just me a minute or two, I know we had just gotten them, so. All right, that looks solid to me. I don't know if you guys have any other thoughts on it. Good to go for you?
Yeah.
Okay, and David, you as well. So we're all in consensus on accepting the meeting minutes for, when was that, May? Okay, Greg, you are as well. You wrote them.
Okay.
Yep. You're good. Okay, then we're all there. Okay, good. So we'll accept the meeting minutes for May. That's good. Thank you. And then the amendment. Greg, you had pointed out in the February meeting minutes that you had done, which thank you. Yeah, so I just basically have something here I wanted to share with you guys, this third piece on the agenda. I just needed to make sure we're all good with me shifting. Instead of it saying February 2024, it would say February 2025. None of us caught that, so I just need to make that adjustment, and we're all set with that. Everyone good?
Well, none of us caught it.
Exactly, yeah.
It's been on the agenda.
Yes, okay, perfect. So I'll make that correction. We're all good there. I had a section for public comment. Okay, I don't know if you want to share anything at this point. Okay.
That's the second section later
on. Yes, after we have some more discussion. Perfect. Okay, good. Thank you. And then, okay, so then the next piece was the discussion of the amendment that David had worked on. And I had copies. Did I share those yet? Oh, here they are. Okay. So this was the work that David had done. Let me just see another one. If you want to take a peek, David, I am so grateful. Greg, that's for you there. I also ran it by Brian and Dennis, who thought it was awesome and totally captured what our intention was and what they were looking for. I feel like it's, and I love, this was originally also what you had talked about of trying to do it in this order of like, boom, here's the thing. So I would love to actually see all of our zoning bylaws look like that. But I'm not going to, that's a lot of work. I know you also have a paid job. So anyway, I just think it looks phenomenal. I don't know if you guys have any other questions or thoughts on it, but obviously looking at subdivision and what the zoning administrator can do and when they might have to come to the DRB.
Do I have this in soft copy form?
This was emailed out.
It is?
Okay. Yes, yes, yep. I had emailed it, yeah. I think I emailed it twice last time because we were supposed to talk about it in May and we ran out of time.
So it's back a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yep, exactly. Yeah, so I don't know if there's any questions after you guys take a moment. And just as a recall, this was basically the fix to what happened in the zoning bylaw otherwise. Hello, Judy.
Hello.
Judy Corso has joined us. Nice to see you. We're just getting going with our minutes, and now we're looking at this that David had worked on. I'm sure you saw this from before about the subdivision adjustment.
And a good hunk of the meat potatoes is that it's a exception, basically. Exception. I know we debated it.
Do you recall seeing those prior?
Yes. Did you change anything from last month?
It's good. Yeah, very good. You might have, I think, one other thing to look at is some like natural boundary line things like roads or things that come up like that, but that'll be a separate piece. This at least addresses what was a real prominent concern.
Should we move to examples?
I think so, as long as everyone feels like they've had time and good with it.
Yep, that is a vast improvement.
Me too.
Thank you.
And John, what are you doing? You're good. Okay. Does anyone want to make a motion?
Sure. I'll move to accept the changes.
Those section
701.2.
Yep. Permitted lot adjustment minor subdivision. I second. All in agreement?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, awesome. Okay, so thank you again, David. So that's all set. All right, and then we move on to sort of our piece that might take a little bit longer, and I will probably just start with a quick little background and recap for those who were not here, and please, anybody, just chime in and whatever else you want to add. But last month in May, we met with them from NBPA and Allison Lowe, and Act 181 mandated that the Regional Planning Commissions put together future land use maps for each town based on a distinct set of categories, which they've broken into. So we looked up at this last time, and you guys can see it's now called Enterprise, which is sort of a commercial industrial section up here. This is the only one that we have. This is like the quarry, right? This is like the quarry area on Route 2 here. And then we also talked a lot about the existing village and then the proposed sort of expanded village space. And we've obviously got three of those because we've got West Danville, Danville Center, and then we've got North Danville. And so the one that had the largest expansion was obviously our village center here. And it seemed like, and Judy, correct me if I'm wrong, I think I remember you saying, oh yeah, this makes a lot of sense just based on sort of housing and residential. But then, Greg, you're bringing up questions.
Okay.
Yes.
So I wasn't here. So
yeah.
I apologize. Just some super rudimentary questions.
Yes.
So I'm sure they described the process for any revisions that they... Is this a revision of an existing
map? This is the existing map. The revision is here. There were only three revisions.
So my answer to my perception of the answer to him is that this is Rev 1.0. This has never been done before.
Okay.
In response to Act 181, which is a modification to 250.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And they explained. But they were referencing existing maps.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, definitely.
And the zoning.
Yeah. What?
Yes, and the zoning.
Our existing zoning bylaws.
Our districts.
I think so.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
And are these particular designations or categorizations, are they prescribed by this piece of legislation?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So that's an inflexible, that's not a flexible.
Exactly.
That's in statute. Or
yes.
Something.
Yes, that is.
That.
Yes.
So they had to sort of conform whatever existing zoning bylaws and maps to this set of
definitions. Everything had to get plugged in.
Right.
And rural general is basically the sort of catch-all. Like if it doesn't fall into these other categories, rural general on there, this color.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. And a lot of towns, like it came up with Liam, like I've been in touch with a lot of towns and people on planning commissions who are just friends and people I work with in Newark, in Walden, who, you know, had some question. And so that's the piece that really has come up. Like Judy and Allison had pointed out, like in this transition zone, there was a space where it's like, that's a wetland. Like, should that even be in there? So Liam did make that adjustment. And that's where I just want to bring up, like, the whole idea of the transition zone, in my opinion, I struggle with. I think it's people's property. There's wetland space. Should it be built up? I feel like it's very imprecise, and to me, it should just, in my opinion, for what it's worth, should just be rural general, because we don't even know what is going to be happening with the transition zone, what's the sort of intent of the transition zone. We can see its description quite clearly, you know, in the slide thing, but I have hesitation around even sort of saying here's a transition zone when, for example, you happen to know the property that you were referencing, that you were like, whoa, you know, you would never build on that. And that was like, because you know that space, that's like where you live. So go ahead, David, sorry. Yeah.
So I hear your concern about transition zone.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I wasn't here. What I really want to know then is what is our responsibility?
Yes.
Liam and Allison expecting from us, what is the timeline for us delivering whatever it is they expect from us.
So by August at the latest, they want to know, do we do this? Are we okay with this?
Or
where do we land on it?
Or
what we would like to change.
Specific recommendations.
Which we've already made three, which were accommodated because they were allowed to be accommodated. So some could be accommodated,
but we are
some
constrained
will not.
By, once again, we are constrained to use those definitions.
Not necessarily, like we could get rid of transition zone as far as I know if you thought like that doesn't make sense. We could push back, like for example, they proposed in Walden a village center, and Village Walden has fought a village center for a long time, and they said no. So Walden said no, and they accommodated that.
So you have a lot of thoughts, and I look forward to learning all of your thoughts. But
so that's what we need to give them.
But I can't constructively engage with you or anyone else here. I don't. But the definitions.
That's where we had sent it out, and maybe you can check from Greg there. We do have more time. So again, we're going to have our July meeting.
Yeah.
And this is also where we had put out, this is where Kay had contacted me because we did put it out on, thank you for doing that, on Front Porch Forum to let people know, hey, this is going on. Do you have feedback? So we've had this map up front so people could come in, any sort of residents, and share feedback or have questions. Yeah.
So is everybody,
I did not see any paperwork.
Is everybody in the room except me like super boned up and knows these definitions really well, or would it be useful for us to,
we can run through it again,
just apprise or remind ourselves even during our own conversation?
Totally.
And to add to that, mm-hmm. I do think these definitions are extremely vague.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So enterprise. I live across from the quarry. What does that mean? What does that give them? There's many of us that have had some beef with the quarry.
Yeah.
And this just this whole thing doesn't really say much.
So, guys, correct me if I'm wrong. If I can color comment.
It's kind of vague.
They are very vague. Yeah.
Do you have any more comments? No,
I only have these guys here.
And what worries me is
that. Can I make a copy of this? Because I think it would be
what they said.
It has the definitions in it.
Do you want me to go do it?
Is it me?
Okay.
You're comfortable with the copy of your
change. I'll find out.
Oh, I can do it. Let me do it.
Well.
So, guys, we're taking a brief pause. We'll, like, grab some copies. You want a copy, too? Yeah. So I'll do.
It's got the definition.
Yeah, I'll do two copies. So just sort of a brief little pause, sorry.
Do you mind if we get him up to speed on a few different things, Kyle? So one thing we struggled with was, what are these different colors within a zone? This is running at 25% translucent, basically. So you're seeing fields versus forest. You're seeing, so when you see a different color here, there's no logic there other than the fact that it is.
They're letting the actual
topography
satellite image sort of.
Is it a 25? So just
bit.
If you're like, what the hell is going on here? FYI.
Thank you. By the way, I don't know if this is interesting. My property is divided. So according to this map, part of my property is
something and part
rural
of
rural general, and the other is rural ag forestry.
That's the same with
which is my next thing is this is all carrot. It's all incentivizing. There's no repercussions. We spoke about ordinances before, sort of thing. This is their attempt to say, hey, if you develop here, you qualify for village center, that sort of thing. And my final comment, which I think we have to wait for Allison to come back, is that this is their map. This is their map. How we embrace this and for what purposes. Now, obviously, the path of least resistance is, this is our map. It's an excellent map, right? And obviously, we want to interact with them as much to make it as relevant and whatever. But this doesn't do anything to us. I mean, this is other than the, if that's not correct, somebody needs to.
Well, it does something, yes.
For economic incentives.
Right.
Economic incentives.
Yeah. Right. When you're talking about the village centers, mm-hmm. when you're talking about the economic areas, when you're potentially there is finances involved. And when you're talking about things like the transition infill areas, it will be taken as a suggestion that people ought to develop there as opposed to somewhere else.
Because every single resident is going to look at their piece of land and say, oh no, now I'm village center. What does that mean? Right. So that how we embrace this or what this is.
Well, my property is split up into rural general and rural agricultural and forestry. So let's say I want to build something on that rural agricultural and forestry. This goes into effect. Am I allowed to?
Well, so these are the concerns that then we get into with thinking about Tier 3. And they're right now trying to figure out Tier 3. And Tier 3 is where they would set up critical resource areas within towns that would be protected. And again, they have not mapped out where are the critical resource areas of Tier 3. And when you have this contiguous unfragmented land of rural ag and rural forestry, and there's a residence in there that some people have, what is that going to look like, or are they going to choose that to be a critical resource area, and how is it going to impact someone's ability to develop on their private property? And we don't have the answers to that.
Yeah.
And this is where there is some struggle with some people that people are having around trying to look at, understandably, where is their house and what does it land in? So those are some of the pieces that
that's just here. Concerning Act 250, right?
No, that is not that. So Act 250 is part of it, because some towns can apply for Tier 1A or Tier 1B status, which would exempt them from Act 250. And so as the other part of that law was Tier 3. And right now there's a stakeholder process going on where they're trying to figure out what are the critical resource areas around the state. So meaning we want to protect these spaces, but we're going to get rid of Act 250 in the in certain villages that qualify for that.
So where it's most likely to affect us, as far as Tier 3 goes, mm-hmm. are going to be areas that are on that map as suggesting that they are
none of that is set yet, but rural conservation, rural ag and forestry, just intuitively, I feel like, would guess, but I don't know the answer, because I've been looking at and watching some of the stakeholder process, and literally they're just in this beginning formative phase.
So they haven't really broken this down further, just these vague...
We have these vague categories, and what we don't know at this point is how then are those categories of, say, a transition zone or rural conservation, rural ag forestry, going to be used in the future? And we don't have those answers.
We don't have the answer. But otherwise, there's nothing that says anything here that is going to contradict what's in our zoning regs.
Right.
So our zoning regulations, our zoning bylaws control unless and until something is done under that Tier 3.
Yes, until the state.
So no matter what it calls it.
Summarize that one more time. Please.
No matter what it says on that map, our bylaws are what controls what happens.
There are no bylaws. These definitions don't have constraints on how you shall use land and so forth.
Right. It has nothing to do with it.
That's the bylaws.
This is what makes a difference. Right. Our bylaws.
This
so
is
that
still
map,
their map
doesn't change it. It's their map. It's not our map. It doesn't change what you can do with your property. Because our bylaws control what you can do.
But it does.
It opens up the possibility in the future, if something happens under Tier 3 thing, that something might be different, particularly in, what did you say, valuable resources? What was it?
Oh, the critical resources.
Critical resources.
Critical resource area. And honestly, the stakeholder group might go back to the state and say, I'm so sorry, we can't do this. Like, it's just not possible because they're struggling. The LURB, the Land Use Review Board, is the one that has been mandated to do a lot of this work with the regional planning commissions. So this is like the whole new top-down law that everybody, including the regional planning commissions, are trying to understand. And so basically at this point, back to your sort of question of sort of intent, is the regional planning commissions are mandated to have a future land use map for every single town. They're connecting with the planning commissions and the select boards and the towns to say, are you okay with this? What are your thoughts? What should change? What do we want to do different here? And then they need that feedback by August because they're getting together their whole plan, their regional planning commission plan. So that's what they're trying to develop that will include these maps in it.
And these maps will be, once approved, will be
the state will determine. We don't know. That's a big open window.
And that's
the part that concerns me and many others.
Future resources, future strains,
critical resource, affordable housing, all of these things are on the table. What is that going to look like? And that's to me where I, again,
so
I'll go back to.
To approve that, which delineates sectors with particular vague definitions.
Mm-hmm.
And in approving, we sign ourselves up for future legislative acts relating to this that we were unaware of at the time.
Yes, that's an issue.
And
this has been my struggle
exactly.
All along.
Exactly.
Cursed,
I think I know. This is where like people are saying this is like a little bit of a usurping
well, this,
potential.
This, I asked the same exact questions, and I was told this is their map,
mm-hmm.
and the only thing that is relevant is whether you qualify for government programs.
At this time.
I mean, now the obvious path of least resistance is this, it will be the map. It's
mm-hmm.
just a matter of time before people, it's just easier.
And I do not know, honestly, the process if we as a town said, hey, we'd like to change this. I don't know if we have to wait until the regional plan. I can look at this. I don't know if we have to wait until the Regional Planning Commission does an update
mm-hmm.
on their plan, or if we can say, hey, you know, we have a real issue. We want to change it, David.
I'm getting it.
Yeah.
Here's a question I forgot to ask.
Yeah.
You keep using the word future. Like,
uh-huh.
In fact, is
they
the
call
word,
it that. Regional future land use, exactly.
So this is what we are approving or recommending changes
perfect.
Or requiring changes is, and this might get to the question you've already asked, like, well, what is our economic future? Like, this is aspirational, or this is our
I don't know if
vision for
that.
The near future?
I think it's
or,
basically...
Or it's what is happening
it's a statement
right
of
now.
Intent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It what?
It's a statement of intent.
And categorizing of land use. And categorizing of land use is really a thing.
What we want to have.
And,
got it.
And,
thank you. That's a very precise.
And Liam worked very hard... blows my mind at what he's capable of going through land use records and current use and maps and, you know, to come up with what makes sense based on the data he had to work with. So I think... Well,
so the only person who knows... So,
is the people who live there. Okay, that's us.
Okay, so I live here.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. That's my field.
Mm-hmm.
And then we own about 2/3 of this area.
And the reason that would be obviously...
And,
oh, sorry. I'm so sorry.
Intent. The only person who knows my intent for how I'm going to use these woods is me.
This is,
and the only person who knows my intent about this field is me.
Exactly.
And my wife.
Exactly.
So.
Well,
it's no different. It's really no different.
Yes.
In our zoning, we've established zones that say that this is a rural residential area. This is an agricultural area. That's already in our bylaws.
Yeah.
So it's not that much different. I mean, there's obviously some great unknowns,
mm-hmm.
but it's not totally foreign for us as a regulatory body to say, yeah, this is a conservation district. We would like that to be conserved.
True.
We don't own it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't make them conserve it. But we're saying we would like that to happen.
And that's where you would get to a tier 3 question on the critical resource area. So just for example, the reason Liam would have chosen to sort of split your property is because this green space, obviously representing rural conservation.
You looked at a satellite map. Like, this is a field. So
but it was also like the contiguous aspect, like, oh, this is linked in with some other agricultural fields or forests. So there's a certain amount, I think it was maybe like a 50-acre space. I think it was based on a 50-acre rule that then, okay, that goes from rural general to, say, rural ag or forest because it is connected in. And this is where, again, people both on regional planning commissions and planning commissions have said, is that then going to be wrapped into a critical resource area where even though it's private property and what is that going to mean? And those are the answers we don't have. So, and I don't know if there's really anything we can do about it. Like right now, this is what we've been mandated to look at and do. Don?
Well, my question is, and this, because this is future,
mm-hmm.
we don't know what's happening. And we have the bylaws for Danville.
Yes, but, and a good point, thank you.
I'm thinking, you know, on the worst end, would this at some point give the state the opportunity to bypass Danville's bylaws and say, well, we have this map, but we have decided we don't want people to build on this. We don't want you to do
they
that.
They always have that. They do have that authority. But yes.
They can always over...
Well, I mean, they have within, eminent domain.
Within reason. I mean, you can't... I mean, they can't stop you from using your property. We can regulate. We can't. You know, take, if you take away the value of someone's property, then yes, you have adverse possession and compensate the person, and basically the state has to buy the property. It's like put in a road.
Right.
You know. So... There are limits,
and this is what the
regulatory power.
Yeah.
And this is what the critical resource, you know, the stakeholder group for the critical resource area. These are all the things that they're running into. Is how are we supposed to do this?
Yeah. Okay.
But again, that's like a, their job down the road. Will they even get there? So right now, at hand, and I want to get to you, Clay, because it sounds like a question or comment. So just I want to wrap up one thought. So basically, our intent right now is to be at this. Meeting, we could do an extra, we can do a special meeting if we really wanted to come together again before our July meeting to come up with, you know, what do we think, what do we want to change, what do we go back to MDEA with. I've been in close contact with Liam on some of the changes, etc.
So these changes you speak of, what were the changes?
Oh,
what
did
is,
you see
what
that
is,
email?
What is the intake process? What is the approval process? What is the lines of communication between NVDA and Danville?
It could be any of us being in touch with NVDA.
So I could call NVDA and say, hey, you know, I don't want this to be a town center anymore.
And I don't know if they would run that through with the Planning Commission. Like, I'm not quite sure
I don't
about
think
how
they would
they
necessarily
would,
do everything
I mean,
that you want.
Right.
Exactly. So are we doing this as a commission? Or where did the changes come from? How did they get there?
So
and where the future was? What is the process for future ones?
Okay, so we had three specific changes from last time. Vince Foy's property, the Matt Singer forest that you had brought up, and then Judy and Allison had an issue on
So they're all ones that came out of that meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
So those were all changes that were made, yes, based on that meeting. And then we've obviously been talking and trying to catch people up. And do you have public comment or thoughts that you want to share?
Yeah, I've got questions.
Yes.
One is, do we have any resource-based recreation areas?
Yes, good question.
And is the Lamona Valley Rail Trail one of those?
Okay, so those were some of the questions that came up on the first thing, and this was one of the things for us to discuss this time or July, because some people were struggling with Joe's Pond, because he has it as the resource-based rec area, sorry.
But so, he also expanded the village. Centers,
yes, over here. But so people were questioning, do we want it that way? So we could change that. He basically put it there because there are some, like the little places you can rent. I'm sorry, I'm laughing first.
Well,
along that space there.
Right. And I questioned it because I don't think it makes sense.
Totally. Exactly. And so that was something we could go back and change, because the other thing that came up is it's on this side, but it's not on that side. You know, so those were some of the questions. So the Memorial Valley Rail Trail piece, I think, is a really important question, right? Because that is recreation-based. And it didn't mean, like, if we be that definition, can you, do you mind reading that?
Sure. Resource-based recreation area. Large-scale, resource-based recreational facilities, often concentrated around ski resorts, lake shores, or concentrated trail networks, which provide infrastructure, jobs, and housing to support recreational activities.
Yeah.
And it is in the stuff that just made copies that engage you.
Yes.
I thought we didn't ask him about the rail trail.
We didn't make any decisions.
But I thought he said
it was
too small.
It was too
small.
Small.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Right. And it does say here concentrated trail networks. So
yeah.
Up in
Kingdom Trails.
Kingdom Trails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we can revisit that with him, because I don't know if they would do it as a whole strip. I don't know what that means, but I think, I don't know. That's a good question. I can follow up with him on that.
Well, one of the obvious challenges for them is what level of minutia do
yes,
they go?
I know.
I mean, they've been tasked with mapping the state of Vermont.
So many towns,
right? So, yeah. And again, it was told to us that this is their map. We're still responsible for if we want to zone our trail system so that hot dog stands don't go up all the way along. And that's the onus is on us, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, yes.
Green Banks Hollow, I threw a question mark around there. Is that a special consideration?
What were we consideration? Talking about?
I brought up the same exact topic. He said he was going to look into it. But obviously, we have a town park there. Mm-hmm. Was it the acres or something? I mean, part of the answer to that is that it was within this dark green, which is conservation. So it's the same as the town parks, which is, right, is Rogers and Orchid Hill, wherever it is. And the other thing to keep, and guys, this is all above 2,000 feet.
Yeah.
That's why you're seeing that as well. Anything above 2,000 feet is also good. So I think we came out of that thinking that Green Banks Hollow Town Park is within conservation, it's not fine. That shouldn't be.
But those are things that if you want me to make a note, I don't mind. Either I can give you his contact, or I can also make a note and get back to you. Because these, it sounds, I'll just, let me make sure I'm clear on that.
So where are you, Kay? You're right.
I'm here. For some reason, my 1.5 acre is parcel with my house is agriculture forestry.
Yeah, that's what I just
and I don't think
about.
I like that.
Yeah. And I think, again, that's where when I talked to him about your concerns, his explanation that I wanted to bring back to you was just the fact that it was in this more unfragmented
that's
U.S. agriforestry.
That's right.
Space.
That's so fun.
Oh, my gosh, nice. They've been so active.
I've been very
active. So I wonder if I should take them outside. My sisters and I used to collect those all the time. Okay, so that basically, if you want me to ask about yours being plugged into Rural General, because he said I think your neighbor is
Rural General. Yeah, my next door neighbor has 4 acres in Rural General.
Yeah. So do you want, would that be your recommendation, your request? Okay. Because that was just sort of the catch-all one. So I have your address, I have your name, and while I talk to him.
I'm not the only one, though. There are people with houses down Peachum Road.
Exactly. And again, that was all based on those larger sections of this ag forest land. So that was going into, even though there is the residential space within. So I don't know how they would feel about it. He is literally going with the rule, and again, I'd have to double check, but I think it was 50, if there's 50 or more acres of the ag or forest land, it got lumped into the rural ag forestry versus the rural general.
Well, I think that's my back
yes.
neighbor. That
exactly.
property, that's a large parcel.
Right.
So what are the repercussions to
there
her?
There were no repercussions.
There's no repercussions.
Yeah, I went through that with him. Like, there's no repercussions. We don't know what's that going to look like down the road. I don't know. But if you have a small residential property and it's not, you know, to you, agriculture or part of other lands that, you know,
well,
that doesn't
make sense. Right.
I know, and I agree.
I've got
so
I
will put a question
right.
out
I
to him, and I'll let you know. And then the question also you had was the Green Banks Hollow.
The overarching purpose
for
the
yes.
including this
and that was like you were questioning
the
about their recreation
area.
Yeah.
It is a resource-based recreation.
Yeah.
About
for the future.
And I don't think there was like exactly. And I don't think there was
in
a guideline for that
center
category of size. I don't know if that was something he created, because I don't think it said over this amount, for example. But I'll double check that. Okay, so those are the three
says
at this
that,
point. Okay, keep me posted as we go.
The purpose is that the state regulation, state level regulations, I mean, that would probably supersede, I mean, I'm ignorant of the relationship between the state and our zoning, but that's will are coming or are already in the language of Act 180 relating to housing and parking and housing density. Like Act 181 is primarily intended for towns to develop.
Act 181 was the one about the LURB, the Land Use Review Board. Right.
It did many things. Yes. One of the things that it did was create the LURB.
Yes.
In order to implement a common act.
Exactly.
Synopsis.
And that's where they were trying to create a sort of balance between, well, if we're going to get rid of Act 250, which personally I don't
think is a good idea. It's saying modernize, update, change, and revise Act 250 for the purpose of Vermont's got to get hold on to health, meaning make it more liberal possible in service. And so in terms of, although each and every one of us is focused on, like I just did, and we just did, I'm suggesting that we should all go home and read Act 81 and spend our time. Probably the most productive use of our time is in this red rectangle. Like, we should zoom in on that and read the definitions and have a more nuanced understanding of what we started by talking about. That orange area.
I
can't remember.
Very much
like
struggle with the transitions.
Yeah.
Yes. Because I will also add to this, too, is part of that.
Maybe that's how we should spend our time.
But, and also, part of Act 181 gave the regional planning commissions housing targets. And so there's been this little bit of a shift happening where the regional planning commissions were originally designed, developed, in place to support the planning commissions. But more and more, what is happening on a statewide level is the regional planning commissions are being assigned sort of powers and mandates that sort of usurp the planning commission role. And so this is like the state-local struggle that's going on, and I just want everyone to be clear because that's what we're seeing sort of play out right now. And that's where I would go back to, and this came up at the end, Judy and I seem like we both agreed on the Act 250, because as part of this, you can, towns can say, I want to be exempt from Act 250. And Act 250, if you actually understand it, it gets blamed all the time for holding things up, but Act 250 is actually an amazing environmentally protective law that has done so much to keep Vermont sort of rural and looking the way it is compared to other places. And so I just want to have us back to what you were saying, David, that that's one of the other sort of pieces, is that if there were going to, if towns are going to take advantage of exempting their villages and towns from Act 250, then they also wanted them to have these protected spaces. So that was the flip side of, we're going to create critical resources areas that we're going to protect, but we're going to let towns sort of, you know, go like that. And so that's where I would go back to, and I do agree. I think you should, you know, 100% review Act 181. And there have been, I had shared some links and classes that were going on with it. And I will also say MBDA does have some recorded videos that summarize some of Act 181 that I can resend to everybody. But that's where I would go back to these, the question on the transition zone, what's going to happen there, whose property is it wetland? It just seems very imprecise. And that's where I just point out my struggle on that one. So I don't know if there's any other sort of thoughts on it.
Well, if the transition zone, I think if we're going to approve the transition zone, then we should be comfortable with the thought that we are telling them that's an area we would be happy to see developed.
Right.
So, yes. And
that, I feel like, is a struggle because we're talking about private property and we're talking about space that we just don't even know. Like, you brought up the wetland aspect in
what's
that
the
area.
The transition zone?
It's in that little, the orange.
Yeah,
huge orange.
Yeah. It's basically around sewer, water, residential.
Areas
like, I'm not saying it doesn't
plan commercial office, mixed-use development, or residential uses adjacent to a planned growth or village area or a new standalone transition area.
And it's also titled optional.
Exactly.
And also, when we expressed some of these concerns before, they say this isn't limit. This is all this is doing is it's defining spaces that qualify for incentives.
Right.
You know, this is not our map. This is where they're saying decide to go that way. this is where your money will be available.
I think it's a good, to be honest, I think it's fine. I think it's better for us to designate areas that you'd like to see developed than it is to let it happen.
I don't think that that would be the case. Like, we're not allowing.
It's not, we're not saying someone has to.
Right.
And we're not saying that someone can't somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying that if they're going to be doing things to encourage people, let's encourage them there.
But I think that that also is sort of a given of, like, that's naturally going to happen because that's where there's water, sewer, that's where it's zoned for it in our already existing zoning bylaws with the districts.
Are those orange areas, I mean, Liam, mm-hmm. are they the bold font, bullet four, are they served by or planned for water and wastewater and new commercial linear strip? It's coming.
Yeah.
I guess it means current.
Yeah.
They are yes and no,
right? There's some where that you could hook up, and then there's some places that you wouldn't. And we're also
we'd have to double
guards to hook up.
We'd have to double check. I mean, I think we have more areas served by water than by sewer.
Mm-hmm. And less possibility for sewer hookup, like limited capacity.
Does it satisfy the first bullet? Are these areas of existing or planned commercial office and mixed-use development?
Or residential.
Or residential uses either adjacent, or residential uses that are either adjacent to a planned growth or village area.
Yes.
They are adjacent to either a planned growth or
they
village
do satisfy
area.
The requirements.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, they do. And again, that's not necessarily my concern. I feel like it fits within that definition. My concern is the imprecise aspect of
it. Yeah, and the second bullet gets to intent. So the first mm-hmm. bullet is a definition. The second one is intent. The intent is to transform into a higher density mixed-use settlements or residential neighborhoods through infill, redevelopment, or new. So they are intended to be developed.
That is where I struggle because we have private property there. We have wetland issue there.
We're not saying that the owners intended to develop it. We're not saying that we as a town are going to step in and intend to develop it.
Right.
But we're saying that when we're looking at planning for our village, for our community, these are the areas where it makes sense to focus on or encourage development. So the intent means simply that we're, as part of planning, not that we're going to develop it, not that somebody else is going to have to develop
right.
it. It's,
of course.
Don't get, don't get hung up on that.
Sort of like naturally also happen. Yeah. Like we have this existing village, right? And so the growth and expansion of this village would naturally happen, especially along the, the water and the sewer. So, you know, I think that that's sort of a given in the sense of where development would go. And so to me, the question, and I guess this is the concern because this has been my observation at the Statehouse, and especially in seeing with the critical resource area, is, you know, what will then come down for, by the way, in these transition areas, boom, this is what we're going to legislate. And this is where I feel like, what is the difference if we, in my opinion, you know, what is the difference if we don't have this? Like, it's not giving us anything. It's not taking away anything.
This is not our map. We're saying if we decide to zone this in the future, this will qualify for state designation programs. Mm-hmm. It's like the state is saying, we will give you incentives to the, but if we decide we're going to develop here, we're not going to be available for those programs or those exemptions under Act 250 or such things, right?
Or the landowners.
We would probably be best served in the long run to have this map and create our map within it, sort of thing, right? You know?
But I think it's also sort of hypothetical at this point.
Because like we're not going to, in the long run, we're not going to have much control of this map.
Right.
You know, if we want to change something, what is the input and the output?
So, and that's where it's like, obviously, this fits their definition of a transition zone for sure. And then it's just, you know, do we lock into that? Like, you already made the shift. And I have to say, I don't know what these people's property, you know, is like. And I don't know if these people would want to be considered in a transition zone. They already are in a certain district in according to our bylaws. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in the village district, the Route 2 district.
So, but the question may be, because your concern is what's going to happen in the future, right?
That's part of my
concern. What is the state going to say about that? If we designate, if we agree that they can put this on their map,
mm-hmm.
As an infill area.
Transition.
And presumably, under the anticipation, that means that people who live there, if they decide they're going to develop, will have access to resources they might not have access to otherwise in order to do that, and that they will be encouraged to do so rather than being discouraged by the state. If instead of that, state jumps in and says, oh, this means that you now have to take in 25% of
and you have to allow
something, or you have to allow, you know,
you're responsible for making this 12-story apartment building. You're responsible for developing this many housing units over the next
year. And they have housing targets.
Then,
you know, every
but I don't think they can do that retroactively without allowing someone to opt out, say, town to opt out.
Well, that's where I feel like right now we're in the hypothetical what if maybe zone. And that's where
politically, I don't think they're going to
have the window.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Sure. I just closed it so we weren't killing fireflies.
And I see definitely what you're saying, Judy, in the sense that, like, you know, it fits into a thing.
Probably doesn't even open.
I don't know. If I had a property in a zone that someone determined was transition, I think I would personally struggle. And that's what I just go back to. You know, why not just, you know, you live around the village space, you're near water and sewer. Maybe I just feel like it's sort of top-down, central planning, invasive, and that's why I should.
Now, if you're a developer.
You're libertarian.
trust
me. I am definitely into regulation, 100%. Just, I don't know about that one.
Whatever the intention of this landowner right here, if you're a developer and you're looking for spaces in the state to come in and buy a bunch of land and put in a development, then you got a you got a new force there in that space. This isn't even about Kay's land or Kay's thoughts on her land. All of a sudden, her land is worth $140,000 more because they get a $200,000 grant to develop. Right?
Well, then you get into like the TIF that passed too, the tax increment financing piece, you know, that towns or developers could use to help fund their infrastructure.
It's a great map, but it's just another government control aspect.
And I have no problem with that. It's just sort of the top down and the not knowing what's going to go on in the transition zone and how would people feel about that? Because I just look again back to what you did with the wetland. Like, why would that be part of a transition zone? But do we know? Like, you know, river growth, wetland.
Right. I mean, there's another whole other section there that I pointed out that I think is wet.
Right. And that's where, to me, it's like we're in this very imprecise space.
But the question is, what does it mean? I mean, even if it was left in, you mm-hmm. know, in that infill area.
What does it mean? We have no idea.
Does it mean they can necessarily develop it anyway because it is soggy?
And I don't think, and that's where the transition zone to me is pointless, because if someone wanted to develop it, they're going to develop it if that's their property and they go through the permitting and, you know, all of those pieces. So why do you need to even create a transition zone? Like, I think our zoning bylaws already are determining that these are the three districts within the zone, and this is what you can do or can't do. But to me, that's, it exists.
Well, I think then we need to ask more, because what I've heard or what I thought I understood was that the reason why we do that is it's going to provide, it's going to make it easier.
Yeah. I can, don't I make a note to double check that with Liam? Because that was not my understanding. But I could be definitely wrong. So I'll just add that to the list, and because I've already got a running list here, and we can just see, just make sure I'm clear. I don't think there was any other benefit to the transition zone, but I don't know that, and so I will double check and get back to everybody.
I mean, because personally, I think it is a smart idea to encourage growth within already settled areas, mm-hmm. rather than encouraging sprawl.
Totally.
Right, definitely.
You know?
But I think
if it matches with what we want to do,
it's the right
thing. Then
right. It is the right thing to do, but having a transition zone isn't what's going to dictate that. You know, and that's the piece where I feel
Our zoning regulations.
Exactly.
But if we've got something coming down the pipe that is going to either complement what we're doing or hinder what we're doing, then we want to be aware of it, and we want to, if it's going to help what we're doing, we want to say yes.
Right.
If it's going to hurt what we want to do, we want to say no.
Yes.
So
and that's where I don't think the transition zone offered any of that. I think it was very much so just based on these are the districts within the zoning bylaw, and so this was, and the water and sewer, so this was the transition sort of aspect. But I'll double check that. Are there other questions coming up on the transition zone for Liam so I can be clear?
When it comes time, you mentioned earlier, do we need a working session for this? Do you want to phone up on 181 and we get together? If the answer to that does become yes, my vote would be yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we chose this section, the resource and expansion of towns for Joe's Pond, you know, and it literally come in with four bullet points, these areas, because all these questions around are going to be accelerated, right? If we wrap our heads around what's happening here, we're probably going to have a better answer to Kay and basically every single landowner.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, eventually, everybody's going to look at this map and say, hey, how come I'm half this color and half that color?
Right, exactly.
You know? I mean, half of this meeting right here. I mean, Vince and, you know, everybody wants to make it a case study.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I'm going from, you know, not town center to town center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, what's
how is the impact?
Is the town just going to take the lazy route and say, oh, you're now town center, you can't do this per all of our ordinances now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is the, so.
That's a good question, exactly.
So, I mean, but I've got more time.
Do you have an opinion on that then, what you're saying? Based on what, you know, the impact of going into them more, the village?
But is there,
it's really how we is how Danville's going to use this map.
Mm-hmm.
This is not our map.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to use it? Obviously, it's,
we don't know until we learn how the state is going to use it.
Yeah. Well,
how can,
that's part of it.
So we need, as a team, we need to,
yes.
even if we need to study together
mm-hmm.
or something, you know, it's a working session.
And I don't know how much farther. I mean, I feel like it would be important. And obviously you pulled that up and I can send like the summary and the actual Act 181, you know, with all of trying to understand what that is. But I will also say that that's right now such a work in progress.
Pick up the phone and tell Liam to come back here.
Oh, yeah. I was going to suggest that.
Give us a review
of
181. Like, how, because we've spent a substantial amount of time here doing our due diligence. We're trying to accommodate our biggest issue is around future state legislative regulation and statutes that utilize this map and the relationship between that and our own bylaws and what does intent mean in this
and
context?
I will, right.
It's like,
I think we should ask them that. I
we?
Think they shared last time. We should definitely
oh,
see
sorry.
If they can come back. No, and I think they shared last time, like, you know, they feel like they've just been directed. This is what they're directed to do. I don't know what other answers they'll have, but I think it would be good because we can try.
They know at Act 180, that those guys. Allison? Oh.
Allison?
She's
learning it a bit.
She's sharp.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
No, she reads the legislation.
Yeah, but I think that they've had some training courses on it, which I can share, and I can ask them both if they can come back.
Yeah.
But I would say that there's three main parts of Act 181, and the one that is relevant to them is this map development.
For sure.
I think this question is, like, we're bringing up what is the benefit or not of the transition zone. Are people going to be offered incentives or...
I just
looked
at it. I just superimposed yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think of asking them to come back?
Yeah, I think if we're all, I'll see.
The closer you get to your August 1st date where they need an answer and every single town is asking them to come back.
Right.
We want to do it sooner versus later.
Yeah.
Well, why don't I ask them, because then we're going to want a meeting before. Would you guys be up for a special meeting?
Sure.
That would be okay. Okay.
I mean, you can either make it or you can't. A quorum would be nice.
Yeah.
I'm my vote immediately.
So why don't we try to grab a time right now? Oh, no, we can't. I'll let you talk to Liam and Allison, and then I'll throw it out to everybody, and we can work through a time.
Did you have any questions?
Well, I just listening to the conversation, like the bottom two bullets on the transition area seem like they could be really important.
Yes, the requirements.
The requirements for being served by your plan for water or wastewater.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's where an incentive could come in from state in this hypothetical. We don't really know what's happening in the future world.
Right. Yeah. If it meant we could get some state
money.
Now
some money to expand your water sewer.
Well, that already exists, though.
Well,
we already have other incentives. We have incentives for those.
I'm just wondering, what is this pursuing to your 1A or 1B status?
That's back to Act 181, where you could be exempt from Act 250 development.
A case study would be a large development where they intend to develop, right? The perception was we probably wouldn't pursue any of that. Correct.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, we would still have to do subdivision regulations, so there would still be steps that towns have to take to have certain things in place if they were trying to be exempt. But that's a whole other conversation for us to have of pros and cons and if it's a good idea and where people land and all of those pieces. But we're not there.
The case studies that we were mentioned were like Charlotte or something like that. They're looking for a big development or something.
Yeah,
but there's certain things in place that would need to happen if we were to pursue that. What were we going to say to you?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that for us and for a lot of small towns, trying to become exempt from Act 250 and then taking on all the work with volunteers that would be normally done by an Act 250 review.
The DRB would be slammed.
Fiscally and manpower.
Exactly.
It's just,
yeah.
But that we can definitely put that down for a conversation at some point for sure. We'll, yeah.
I have an interesting.
Yeah.
So I just superimposed a Google Map satellite image.
Mm-hmm. On nice.
You guys, these transition areas, all of these transition areas are larger private properties.
Mm-hmm.
Larger.
He used tax maps.
Residential.
There's six or seven different data layers, GIS data layers.
That he used.
You know, some of them are, they're 2022, so mm-hmm. some of this a little bit. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's
right.
I mean, this is that farm. I mean, this beautiful farm. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are very expensive. This is Marty's mm-hmm. field right here.
And that's
like these got maybe Marty wants this opportunity, you know, to
maybe.
Access
well,
these things.
Marty's retired.
In case he wants to develop that field, you know, or
if there's something,
you know, and so forth.
Right.
So
if there is that incentive. So I'll definitely check in with Liam on that question.
And or resale of the land.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this land is worth this much more because you have a federal or state grant that says, hey, we're here to help you develop.
Yeah.
It's a great tool. It's a great tool. Just like any other tool, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You
know? I know, that's the question. And obviously you already see like the struggles that come up, you know, that everybody has had with where they land and what that means. And there's not really a lot of answer to that right now because it doesn't mean much really at this point. So, yeah. So with that, I feel like I should definitely send out to you guys, I'll send out some Act 181 information. I'll be in touch with Liam and Allison and see if we can get them both back here again. And then I'll send out some dates so we can go through all of that. Yeah.
I've got land plot tax maps, full size
mm-hmm.
of the whole town sort of thing. So, I mean, once we identify our three or four spots, that might be a useful thing because that's basically exactly what you just said. You know,
yeah.
The political boundaries,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Yeah.
Because, right? So we need to figure out what they're doing, why they're doing. We need to get up to all of us need to get up to 181 better.
Right.
And then from there, have some case studies for our meeting.
Yeah. And again, I don't think there's a lot of answers. Like the land use review board has like different stakeholder groups going on right now about what tier three is going to mean, what the appeals process is going to be. Is it going to be legal or not? So, you know, I think those are pieces that do not apply to Allison mm-hmm. and Liam's work. The part that applies to them is obviously the mapping.
Yeah.
Which is
and I'll get our discretion is limited. I mean, unless we provide specific recommendations or specific corrections, this map is going to Montpelier, baby.
Exactly.
Here's one thing we asked for that we didn't really mention too much. It was in the meeting minutes, but current use. I mean, there's massive amounts of current use in here sort of thing. So maybe that's more value to us than it is to them. But that's something we asked.
Yeah,
has there been any answers?
I did not get anything back on that, so I'll double check on that one too. And then the other part was, I think, when Liam and I spoke last week or whatnot, it was, I think, a big question he had based on our last meeting was, what do we want to do around this sort of Joe's Pond area? But it sounds like, I don't know if we're ready to make a decision on that. It sounds like we need more information on that, so we should wait. Because we have a July meeting, and then hopefully prior to that, we'll have another meeting, on that, and we can decide where we want to go with that. Because there was some struggle that Judy had brought up.
So case study and case study.
No, not enterprise. That's enterprise.
I'm sorry.
This is the
a resource.
This is the
but that's all housing. That's all housing.
Right.
It's basically probably largely
along
the year.
Along the two.
And it's and also like the
in the North Shore.
Lake Shore.
It does say Lake Shore, exactly. Yeah.
Rural
this is
it's
general.
Supposed to be
yes.
Recreational facilities.
Now,
that's where I did
South
think.
Shore. Our Lake Shore is denser development than West Amboy
exactly.
Village.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally it's so.
Yeah, they're on top.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, to a certain extent, that's a village in and of itself.
Right.
Yeah.
The only personal recreational facilities,
right.
But the only public recreation are the. The beach,
right.
The boat launch.
Which they've decided to make village core. You know?
What?
So
is the beach
the
village
beach,
core?
The beach.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it is all along there,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so those were some of, oh, sorry.
What I was saying, I suppose you could say was a dance hall, it's the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they call that.
That's what I was going to ask.
Rinse out cottages.
Yeah.
The proposed
Joe Cabins across
village center
right,
for West
right.
Anvil, isn't there housing there?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a bunch of that
yeah.
housing there. Yeah.
Right up here. That's like that's on, isn't that Oneida? Or, I mean, not Oneida.
Well, it's off of Oneida.
Because we could take it out. We could definitely take it out of that if it doesn't, if we, that's what we
doesn't.
Want. And then it's also like the fact that it wasn't on the North Shore. You know, it's just, you know, so there was a lot of questions around that last time.
He's coming in with data only.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You know, so
yeah.
The onus is on us to
go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So just something to think about. We don't have to make that decision tonight, obviously. It's just something that was one of the lingering pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you guys tell me any other thoughts, Kay, if you have anything else. Okay. Yeah, so I think
Kay says no. Tell him no.
Well,
I have your things and we can go through that before.
There's
a
bazillion other people out there that are like so
I know you tuned in.
What's
you tuned
up
in
with
too.
My property and what
does
that
what
mean
does that
for
mean?
The future?
And we don't have the answers to that, honestly.
But
no,
I do
no,
think mine
right.
makes no sense.
For now our due diligence is it does it, it are there mis technical errors here.
Right.
That's about all.
So
and definitely,
error, like they could have just dragged their mouse a little bit further
and plugged you
yeah.
in there, right?
So Kay, what they told me when I asked the same exact question was the only thing this is doing is it's making funds available if you were to develop or defining places where funds wouldn't be available. Now, where Danville goes with this map from here on out, or the state of Vermont, you know,
well,
yeah, that
over
I
want to
confirm. I want to confirm what that meant to them. Definitely. So yeah, so I think that I'll go through that with them. We talked about that too. What those benefits of having that would be or not. So I think yeah, we have a plan. I'm going to be in touch with them. I'll reach out to you guys so we can nail down a date. And
I will not be here.
Okay. 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 And I'm probably going to try to shoot for this, ideally, for sometime sooner than our July meeting, so that at our July meeting we can try to finalize, because I don't know when in August he's going to need this. So okay. It'd be nice if in July we can kind of have that plan. In. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so sorry. Any last thoughts? We're good. Okay, I'll send some resources, et cetera. And then, so thank you guys for going through that one. And then, Kay, any other comments? Okay, and you know where to find me, so keep me posted. Yeah. Sorry. There we go.
Next one.
Yeah, so we went through that. Okay, and then the next item, industrial solar projects in Vermont, discussion and review of enhanced energy plan. I just happened to go to a solar project that was 110 acres down in Fairhaven, so it got me thinking about Sandville, of course. It hasn't gone through yet. It hasn't been approved by the Public Utility Commission. I don't know what's going to happen, but they applied for a permit, and there's two other ones like that in the state. And I think probably what makes the most sense, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, because what time is it? It's almost 9. I think maybe what I'll do is send out a copy of the enhanced energy plan to everybody, and we can check that out. I just want to revisit it and make sure we're all on the same page. And I was looking for, David worked really hard on putting that enhanced energy plan together. But I just wanted to, just feedback, just any sort of thoughts or feedback. I just want to make sure we're sort of all familiar with it and just see if there's any sort of shifts down the road that need to happen. I mean, basically, you guys had said, David, at the time I wasn't on, I came sort of during that process at the end, no to any industrial wind that was in there, that there'd be no industrial wind. And as far as I knew, the solar project on Route 2 was the last sort of larger solar project.
The language is pretty assertive.
Yes, it is, which is great, yes.
It's clear that we were drawing some really solid lines that future developers would have a lot of difficulty.
Yes.
Good.
And the state has to give substantial deference to towns that have the enhanced energy plan.
Look at the space. Look at the space we're in also, though, similar to this, right? Mm-hmm. We have directives that a certain percentage of our power will be, regenerative or something like that. But we're also looking down the barrel of the 51st state. I mean, all I got to say is, here's 35% of your renewable energy. We're not just can't have it anymore because you guys are assholes. Excuse my language.
With Hydro Quebec.
I mean, really, if all of a sudden the potential pressures of
That was NVDA's job. They needed for us to get substantial benefits. They had to approve it, and their mandate was to ensure that we are compliant with the state's energy.
Like,
we couldn't just be no to everything. We had to present arguments and be specific, and it had to all be within the context of, yes, we support renewable energy. Yes, we support energy goals 2025, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So it was quite a give and take. And NVDA was quite activist, actually, and we actually pushed back. And it was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So,
and I will say they did just update the res last session after the enhanced energy plan went through, which now we have a more aggressive renewable energy standard. So I don't know if that will have an impact, but at this point, that's done. It's been approved. Like you said, we have a substantial deference.
So historical perspective, it used to be called ad hoc energy or something like that. It was like an add-on to the town plan. And we were actually proactive. Danville was pretty proactive to put this plan together, right? And then they came back to it and says, you know what? Your enhanced energy plan is actually very important, right? And it became...
Because of this issue about...
That was Senator Gray.
Deference.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's been I guess what I'm trying to say is there's been a lot of energy and a lot of formality in the space in just the last 4 years.
Totally. And most towns in Vermont are doing this because of this wonderful prize you get of having substantial difference.
You have a strong say. Yeah.
When it comes before the PUC, they will do what the town wants.
Unless you don't have a plan.
If you have substantial difference by working with your NPDA and so forth, and if it passes,
you're in a better bargaining place.
You are a much better bargain. Mm-hmm. And every town got busy, rolled up their sleeves, and achieved. So
unless you have renewable energy developers who are lawyers and sue the town and sue the town. That's happening in Bennington.
I'm sure it is. But
yeah. So then there's some of those.
If they have an approved enhanced energy plan by their regional development association.
I know Bennington just lost on that one, just regardless of their enhanced energy plan, but that's another sort of ballgame. So then again, you get into money lawyers and how many resources towns have or don't have, et cetera, to keep sort of pushing back on lawsuits with developers. So, So I think it is an awesome enhanced energy plan. And that's where I just wanted to make sure, because I know some people are coming in after and I didn't know who's read it and if you're familiar with it. And I just wanted to make sure that people were aware of it and the language in it and what it offers. Because I know a lot of people have brought up some of the issues of the solar project on Route 2. And Greg, that brings me back to like the tree piece, you know, that you were questioning, which
you
is
mean,
part
you
of
this
their...
PUC number here that I have written
yes,
down
that
I have
had
not
given
reached
you.
Out anywhere
yeah.
to? I mean, because again, you have, it's possible that that plan was formally published after, I mean, our town plan says, that thou shalt not have a visible thing within 1,000 feet of two, basically.
Yeah.
Literally calls it out.
And they were supposed to have a tree line.
And they were supposed to have a tree line.
Right.
And there's no tree line.
Oh, well.
Which one? The one up the hill?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The one on Route 2.
I mean, I was in the room when
it's
they
in
made
the minutes.
You're talking
the
about the big ones.
Yes, exactly.
Not the one behind the.
You mentioned lawyers.
Former nursing home.
There was a lawyer sitting right there.
Yeah, the big one.
This was a negotiation.
Down on the right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where we were going to. No, I wasn't, but I understand because I've seen a bunch of them.
It's in our minutes, and I don't know if it's in writing, but they signed up.
Yeah. This was how they were
to mitigate. We went back and forth about the trees and the species and where exactly they would be.
And I watched that development after, you know, I knew it was going in. I'm like, man, it'd be nice if they planted the trees now, right? It takes trees a little while. But, I mean, to date, there's nothing there.
And that's the enforcement follow-up piece that we were going to sort of see where that lands because the action hasn't happened.
Cool.
So, do you know how many megawatts that one is off the top? Does anyone know? Is that 2.5?
35 acres, whatever the math is.
Okay, right? Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that was just, I wanted to sort of just bring it back to our attention because of what I kind of see rolling out around the state and just wanted people to be comfortable and familiar with it. So I'll send that out to everybody and then we can revisit that one.
And in your article and also our economy thing, I might want to bat around the agriculture and solar field sort of thing. Some of
the agrivoltaic,
thing, you know, because
that's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
That's getting into the
massive
controversial. That's getting into the minutia, but the micro plastic, the history that the wool has had in the state, agriculture and stuff like that. You know,
right. No, it's a good point. I think if you want to just add, you know, we'll make sure you have your agenda item for the economic aspect, and I'll make sure that everybody has a reminder to
make
read that.
Specific reference. Make your references to town plan. Specific.
Yes.
That would be real.
Which I'm quite intimate with the parts of the town plan that interest me, but I need to go end to end. I really do.
Well, there's so much in there for all of us. So basically, I'm going to put that on for the next meeting in July, and obviously we'll have a conversation about this. We'll have a conversation beforehand. Two other just last pieces I just wanted to bring to your attention, and they just came up, so they never made it on here, but not like we're taking any action on it. Brian Henderson, chair of the DRB, had just made a decision on the rural edge affordable housing unit down here in town that was looking to add units. And the Patrick from Rural Edge reached out to me for the Planning Commission to consider a change in town plan zoning bylaws to accommodate what they were requesting. I want to make sure you guys have Brian's decision because he denied it. They were So we can get into the details, but I'll make sure we've got a lot with this right now. I wanted to make sure you guys were aware this has come our way for us to reevaluate.
They were looking for two-story.
They're looking for the two-story, but it was more about the number of units. I don't know if I want to probably not dive into it right now. I think what I'll start with, if it's okay, is get you guys Brian's decision so you can see that and see you'll have a lot of the details there. And then I'll also give you what Patrick from Rural Edge is asking for from the Planning Commission. And we can just see where we all land. I don't know when we'll be able to fit it in. To be honest, it probably won't be until August or September.
So this is before it came to any review board or anything like that. Brian makes the decision.
The DRB made the decision.
Saying, so the Development Review Board
has decided on it at this point.
So you're referencing Brian as the
DRB chair.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, exactly. So he shared the decision. Yeah. And then Patrick from Rural Edge reached out.
This is like a zoning administrator said to us it was the review. Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Yes. Yep.
How often does this occur where we have a zoning bylaw, the DRB dutifully enforces the zoning bylaw, and then the person who is disadvantaged by that decision leapfrogs over the DRB and petitions us directly to change the bylaw. Like, how often does that occur?
Yeah. In some towns, I've been here
3 years, it's never free.
In some towns, quite often.
Is that so?
We would need to make a decision after reviewing it.
We're not going to review this.
The difference between a waiver and an actual change of policy? I mean, why would they ask?
Okay. Well, the DRB would be, you know, do they offer a waiver? But again, you have to think about precedent and what sort of precedent, and are you always offering waivers? And if you're doing that, should you change your bylaw? So there's like a whole bunch of questions that come from that. But I think at this point, it's just obviously my responsibility as chair. Patrick came to me. I wanted to make sure you guys were aware of what he was requesting of the Planning Commission. I'll share Brian's decision. And again, just we've got a lot to work through here, but I wanted to make sure you were aware and you'll have the info. And I'm thinking that we probably won't be able to get to this until August or September.
Yes.
Because we've got to nail down our math.
I mean, this looming over us.
It just is a big deal.
A working session, a productive one.
Exactly. Yeah. So at least everyone's sort of caught up. Vince was here last time. David made it. So I think we're all kind of at least have more of a general idea. And so that's that. I wanted to let you know on that piece, and I'll share that info. And anything else that you guys have?
Just out of random, do we have a member that's never showed up?
Oh, yeah. I'll bring up Kate. She had had some things come up. I'm not quite sure the details. None of my business. But I was going to add that to an agenda item soon so we can just sort of all agree we haven't heard from her and we need to add another person. It's been a long time. Yeah. I don't know exact, but yeah. So.
It's interesting that, I mean, she's on the distribution for everything and she hasn't responded to it.
And I think we sort of officially need to say, okay, boom, what's our move here? So I'll put that on as an agenda item for us to move forward so we can try to see about adding somebody else in. I don't know if Kay's in.
Yeah, I was going to say, Kate.
it's dangerous to show up.
So, my approach to this is to learn.
Yeah.
To be honest, so,
yes.
You know, apparently it's often I want to state my opinion, but it's the onus is on them to say shut up, right?
No, we have to share our opinion. That's what it's about.
So,
and it's keeping in mind, none of us are paid or like, you know, we're basically volunteers. So. You know,
or show up to the next 2-3 meetings and see if it's something that does interest.
And we'll, I think, move forward with the K thing. That's been on my mind to add into the thing. Sorry it hasn't faded in. But otherwise, does someone want to move to close unless there was something else?
I would make a motion.
Second. All in agreement? Aye. All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much.
And the time is?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Greg, for that. What time is it? 9 on the button? 9:02. And we're closing off, and I'm going to press stop on the computer here.
That one over there says, what, 11? Almost 11?
Oh, sorry, Judy. I'm just going next to you to turn that off.